authority, and I was involved in this telephone case that I'm going to speak to.
I have trouble with both the REA and the telephone company. The first trouble I had was with the REA. They run into my grandson right out here. And there was the telephone company truck was speeding. This is 40-mile zone right in here. 40 miles an hour, I mean. And my grandson was coming in here. He was working here, a fish hook factory here. He was working here. He went back for coffee and coming in. He slowed down over there, and from behind, a truck hit him. And they got smart about it. The truck driver got smart about it. So we got into a little trouble. And I went to Fraser, I guess, at the Apple House. When they beg one, Fraser, talk to the job. Anyway, I went to, we had the Indian superintendent over here, he was Winnebago, part of Winnebago Indian up there at that time. Forgot his name now. I went to him, talked to him. I and my boy, Isaac, went to him, talked to him. And he called the realty man, John Lewis. He came in. So he put it up to him, my case up to him. And John Lewis said this. He said, those people are trespassing, the REA. They sent me a easement blank and asked me to get the superintendent to sign the easement for the whole reservation. So I put a big cross, big X, where the superintendent's supposed to sign, and sent it right back to them. I told them that it takes the landowner to authorize them to come upon their land. That's the landowner, not the superintendent. Superintendent cannot do that. He doesn't have that much power, unless somebody like airship land or some incompetent Indian, he'd have that power. But I'm not incompetent. I'm still alive, so they're supposed to get my signature to come through my land. But they came through anyway, and it went along. And this telephone company was coming in. I was in the hospital. And my boy came over to the hospital and said, the telephone company is coming through our land. We'll stop them, I said. Go back and stop them, I said. Because I never signed anything. I never give them, authorize them or... to come through the land. So he came back and stopped him right out here. But they got to talk to the tribe, or somebody authorized them to go around on through my land. So they ran through my land. And when they pulled the old telephone pole, Bud Merrill was pulling the pole. So I went up to Bud, and you leave those poles alone. He went back and got a court order. He brought me the court, and the court order was no good. I can see that. The court order was no good. So I said, that court order is no good. So you better leave the poles alone. So he left the poles alone. So I got the poles. So that shows that I'm right all the way through. If I wasn't right, they can take the poles. All right. I had Gerald Thomas to work on this. And he said, Joe, you signed it right away. Yes, I did. I said, I signed it right away. For public right away, for roads. Not for telephone, no, not for REA. I did sign an agreement for easement for the road, for that blacktop road. But I know we need a good road, so I signed it. And we had a little trouble. Some people going through our land. So I went to Tito Tibbetts, the judge, talked to him. Says, Joey said, you know that you only have supposed to have one right-of-way through your land. You can't give everybody right-of-way go through your land. just one run. If more than one, the second party is supposed to pay you for your right-of-way. That's what it is. No, it wasn't Tibbet. It was that road land operation that told me that. So I was going to sue the telephone company, and Gerald Thomas took the case, and I don't know what all he done. He got all the letters and everything that wrote to me from the company, both companies, telephone companies. They asked me to sign. So that shows that I'm right all the way through. They're not supposed to come through my land without my with my consent. It must be because they wrote to me every week when they asked me to, because I'm right in between here. So they asked me to sign. They're going to pay me for it. So her sister-in-law signed a consent. She didn't get paid yet, but almost 2 years now, no pay yet. So I didn't sign anything, but they went through anyway. And they're using the right road, right-of-way, consent for road. And they can't use that, because I just signed an easement for the road, not for telephone. And public road.
You said that you started the company.
I got it started about almost two years ago. 3 years ago, Gerald Thomas got my call, got everything. No, he was at the time.
And now he's in Fort Thompson.
He's at Fort Thompson now. So I'd like to advocate through that telephone company, start a lawsuit whenever I can. And if I win, the people around here will get benefit out of it. Those who didn't sign the easement will get money out of it. Everybody, not only me, but it will do the people some good. And at that time, I was going to sue the REA, but somebody went around, told us, some teacher, school store teacher, going around told the people that if you stop that REA, there will be no school, no store, can't. So the people refused to go along with me. But John Lewis said, there's no problem there. All you have to do, if you sue the Lake Creek Electric Company, while the public, what they call them, Shadron, public workers, public consumers could hook up right away. Oh, they can't move that pole because they came through without your way of permission, so they cannot move this pole. They cannot move anything. So public consumers, all they can do is to, if within a few hours' time, they could hook up and you'll have lights again. And they're cheaper anyway, he said. That's why John Lewis, he was a realty man here. And I tried to locate him because I wanted to use him as my witness, but I couldn't locate him.
And he kind of tested the REA for money. There were some poles running across his neck in front of the house. And they went in and
yeah, they didn't do it. They were going to pull it and roll the wire up. So I went up to him and said, you came through without my permission. You're trespassing. So leave those poles and the wires alone. They belong to me, I said. So they used two-way talking to their manager over Martin over two-way video. Well, I don't know what all he said, but they left. steal it, oppose and everything, steal it. So, I must be right. They didn't touch the steeler, wired and everything. Yeah, cool.
The other ones are possible. So we asked them where they got the authority. They used to come to us. And they said, well, the tribal chairman told us to meet our people before the cold weather. So I said, the land was, and his family that was there, they was come across their land. We didn't stay with him and map area or around the line, whatever it is. They just go down and pass care of their land. Services, but we want some kind of change, but families. reservation land here down the road, almost to your accident. In order to bypass the public, you had to go here down to the road, all reservation from that road. So, Bob, if you were to bypass the public, go ahead and say, hey, they were going to put two trucks corner. So we'll go down to the main district, go across the road, pass the public district. So again, I said, and our fourth meeting, okay, then I said,
they even work late at night laying their cable down. And I wasn't here that time when I came back to all the cables were laid.
And the court order they brought from the court wasn't, you know, it wasn't order because they had somebody else to write out the order. And had one of the judges to, I don't think they had to, they gave the judge a chance to read it anyway. They just asked him to sign to him. That's what I was told from Pine Ridge. So, it wasn't judges, or it wasn't court order. Somebody else, some attorney or somebody type it up.
Court order. Al Copper said that he intends his court order in the last 6 5 of whoever interferes with this court order.
Yeah, if it was the order from the judge, being all right. But I don't. It's somebody else wrote the order and had the judge sign it. That wasn't right. So
after that, he was going to court. So I done the research. I done the research on this back in the early 1900s. The VA had a called utilities contract that was called at that time Oglala Council. It was money about community leaders, chiefs, and at that time there was 39 community tours by it. So at that time they started putting the telephone in. So they finally here, some of the chiefs at that time not to talk to them about the meeting. So they had a series of meetings. And they agreed, they made at that time the telephone line will be through a section line and so on.
Through section line?
And that telephone will be for governmental and Indian use only.
Good.
Great Plains ran that telephone company. And at that time, that Great Plains itself trespassed again. But that telephone line. So instead of submarginal and section line, they moved the telephone line closer to the highway without asking the landowners and the Great Plains trespass. Then in 1970, they gave the Great Plains was independent telephone company. And then Great Plains went and sold that contract to two telephone companies, Bison State and Golden West. they trespass. Those two companies trespass. Plus, what's that, Northwestern Bell that comes in through Martin and through towards Gordon. So there's four telephone companies on the reservation. And there's three electrical companies on the reservation. And there's never a contract signed between any telephone or electrical company, with the tribe or plus the landowners.
And the only lawsuit that's come out of this is a lawsuit which he started to take on any place.
And then still pending. And what happened to his is that a telephone company went up to his fence line, and he didn't want to sign the easement, so he said we'll use the BIA easement, and that's for roads only. And so they went down in a ditch, went along the ditch. When they got on the side of his land, they got back inside the fence again and made their money. So his case is still pending, and Gary Thomas was supposed to handle it. He has all the information, but he never done anything about it.
I have a daughter that's living at the housing in Martin, and she's really been having a hard time for about 3 weeks now. She has to run with her kids. I've been keeping the kids down to my place, but it seems like the law just can't do anything about it. But this started about the first part of the month. And it's her husband's sisters that's starting all the trouble. Winona Cotier. Joe Cotier. Her husband's name's Joe Cotier.
Okay. You said her husband, who's causing trouble? Her husband's son, Joe?
His sisters. There's Jeannie Barlion and Beatrice Dubray. And about the first part of the month, there was two of the boys that walked up to her house with a gun, and they was calling him out. They asked Joe to stick his head out because they was gonna blow his head off. But he didn't go out, so when he didn't go out, they broke her screen and shot a hole in their car windshield. And the next day there was a police out there, and he got the bullet out of the car Anyway, he said he was going to send somebody down to investigate all this. He said he couldn't do nothing himself. He'd have to have somebody else go down and investigate. Nobody never showed up, so the next day we called in and they said she had to go in and sign a complaint. And that was November 7th. When we went into the courthouse, it sure seems like nobody was very happy to see us. They really didn't pay any attention to us, but I walked up to Dorothy Richards and I asked her if she'd have time to talk to us, and she said, no, what is it about the shooting in Martin? And I said, yes. Well, she said, you go and talk to him, and she named somebody, a prosecuting attorney, I guess. She said, I have nothing to do with that. When we walked in there, well, he gave us smart answers. But still, we insisted that she wanted to sign a complaint, so he had her to sign a complaint. And then we had to go over to the other part because the other part, I mean, one of them was a minor, one of the boys, and he was drunk. He was drunk when he went to the house that night before. And nothing's ever been done about it. And they've been giving them people a bad time ever since. They call out police officers, they go down there and they say they're going to do this and that, and they just make a few turns down and leave. So I don't know why the police officers are getting paid or why they're so scared, or I don't know what's wrong. But it seems like we just don't have no backing at all.
Can you tell me the names of the two boys?
There was a Philip Richards and Edward Badling. Edward Badleon.
You said after you filed a complaint, nothing was done?
Nothing was done.
Someone kept bothering you?
Yes, the same people. And night before, they was over there again. One of the boys was over there, only this one was a Jerry Richards that went over there again and busted her door and her window. And so yesterday, before 3 o'clock, she called up Eastman and asked him what he was going to do about it, if he was going to send somebody down. And he told her he was going to send a couple of the police officers down. And last night, about 5 minutes to 12, is when she said they went there, but she said she didn't even open the door for them because it was five to 12 last night when they got there.
Police?
Yes.
Said no investigation took place. Then you mentioned another person came and did some other stuff. When was that? Was just within a few days of the first?
Well, ever since then, they've been hollering at him and telling him to go out and all that, but it seemed like they just can't leave their, yeah, Winona and her husband's been there, but I've been keeping the kids down on the creek because that them other people has guns, and the others don't. And this trouble has been going on ever since, until the night before again. It started again.
Night before what?
Night before last year.
What happened?
Well, that's when they busted her window again.
Same people?
It was a Jerry Richards from the same.
I mean, see, problem is I do have to get back because I've got some other cases and I have to do something with. But I don't know exactly where you can go. But today I can stay for, I can stay as long as anyone can come today. I can stay tonight. There's no, I mean, I can be here tonight as long as people can come. But I guess I'm going to have to rely. I hope, you know, if you go around to the other districts, like you said you can do, I hope that, if I can't be here for that, which I don't think I can, I hope that you can send me that information or that you can get some affidavits from people. You know, I want to say that, I know people generally don't like to send stuff to a government agency like that because it's just getting into the bureaucracy again. But if you send it to me, I will look at it and I'll do whatever I can on it. But I've just got, you know, too many other cases going on right now that I can't neglect.
Right. Can you call up the superintendent and tell him what I'm here?
Oh, and yesterday she went in to talk to the superintendent, and I guess they told her that he was busy when he was just walking around out in the hallway there visiting around. So they went in and talked to Nelson Witt, but all he told them was, we've been hearing this over and over, we've been talking about it, and that was all. He didn't say if they was going to do anything about it or anything like that. She said that she's going to call the school today and she's going to have the kids stay and go back out to housing on a bus because she said she's through running because one of her baby's sick from running in and out of that place with that baby. And that's why she really couldn't come, but she said she's through running. If nothing's done about it, she said they'll have to do something, fight back or do something about it. But this, I still would like to know what the superintendent is doing for the people. Because we also have a district representative like these guys here. He isn't doing anything for the people either. Those are his sister-in-law, so I don't think he really cares.
Do you know why this is empty? People that are breaking the windows, threatening.
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. They like to start trouble anyway, and with the two women with them, I think they're just getting them to do that. The boys that they're with, and the boys don't live out to housing. They're just staying at that place, at that one place. If that superintendent gets here, I'd like for them to read their statements and maybe he'll realize that's where he's going to be. Well, there's no need of even getting here. Finally, the housing people, there's shooting going on too, so the housing people got a petition out to move this party out. And it's been turned into Pine Ridge to Bogey Emmett, and nothing's ever been done about it.
People that are bringing the shooting live in the same housing. Live in the same housing.
Yeah.
Places.
Mm-hmm. Seifert, did you ever meet on that petition they turned in from Mark? So they turned in a petition too from the housing to get that party out of there. I think everything will quieten down real good if they do.
Mm-hmm.
thought you was on the house.
Yeah, for the house.
Mm-hmm.
They had a meeting last Friday.
Why, I wonder why it took so long for the police to get out there. Anymore, you can't even go to the courthouse and have somebody smile at you or anything. Lila mea te ham pine regulation. He o toka he wa iar. Ata he ni vi dena po pano kuin uta ata dukte lungi kanuka. Ni e le chita o ya to pa chanu se to ke wa ji un kapa tu ni ma nya kapsa. Tung di te mi si in the school board meeting hunt under the extra $10. So that's where he is. That's only time we see. Okay. Statement. Maybe she's got something to say.
Spartan Park is about
12 years ago. Hello, I think we met you yesterday on the road. Well, I'm Viola Shangu of Martin. Well, I came all on kind of the housing. They're having a lot of trouble out there. And this other bunch has got guns. And one of them came clear up to the door and tried to get in. He tried to open a door, but we had the door locked. And he couldn't get in. We stopped the cops, and he got off of the car, and he just went around the house. He didn't look for him or anything. And I've got a 63 Chevy that they raised hell with that to the book. They shot at the window, from the back window. My back window is out now, and two tires that's blowed out with guns. And we don't know who done it. They wanted me to sign a complaint, but I know we wouldn't get no help. And looks like we should have some kind of law out there that would help us. And there's a lot of kids there in this Joe Cotier's home. And his wife is my niece. Sometimes I gotta stay there overnight with her just to help her out if anything came up. And there's bullet holes in different houses, but I don't know why the cop can't go there to look into that. They do.
What group? That's
Beatrice DeBray and this Jeannie Badlune or Cotier. And there's some DeBrays there too. And there's some girls there that goes there. And they're waiting for some of us to go out so that these girls can fight us when the man folks will get into a fight too. That's what they're after. And I'm afraid somebody's going to get killed before long if we don't do anything about it. I think that should be stopped.
Do you know what the reason is? Why do they want to do that?
Well, they had a fight there. That's what started the whole thing. And my grandson was in a hospital over that. He got beat up, and then they couldn't do anything about that. And that's what started the whole thing. After they went and beat him up, they used a skillet on him. That's what they done. And from there, this trouble has been going on. And they hit some minors there too, and two girls, and that's how come they're having all this trouble. But I think it should be stopped.
Okay.
think it'll be all right if we get some different cops in there.
I think that's one reason that while you're making a statement too, is that you ask how, what should be done to practice. If it's a policeman asking, I mean, to perform their duty, it should be removed. I think that's a request that we can get a lot of people to make that statement in our meeting. That's kind of, we have people supporting that, and that's a
good request. We got a representative there, but he never did go out there. He doesn't try to stop anything or nothing. He's for himself.
It seems like what you're describing is kind of a feud type thing. You said it grew out of a fight.
They did. They had a fight out there. This Jerry Richards was beaten up on this one girl, and Beatrice DeBray hollered for help. That's how come Carl Standing Bear went over there to try to stop the fight. And after he walked in, that's when they all jumped him, and they used the skillet on him. He had two big cuts on his head, and they had to take him to the hospital. And the cops were right there, but they didn't pick up anybody. They just let him go. I think myself we should have a cop there that would kind of help us out or something.
This type of thing is really sort of burdening, and it's really dividing the people itself. Like, there's housing, maybe they start out good, and this fight broke out, and now the law doesn't do anything about it, investigate or nothing. And this is what happened last year, because there was an argument between some people and the result of the
this Butch Heinemann, I don't think we want him out there, because he had Jeannie Cotier in the cop car the other night, just going around with her without doing his business or anything, and I don't think we'd want him out there. We want somebody out there that would stop this or do something about it and pick him up every time when they get into a fight. So we don't want him out there. We want somebody out there that would help us.
My name is Myrtle Johnson, and I'm from Anderson. And I'm not from Martin, but I have one daughter living there with two little children. She's got two of them. So the last Wednesday, I went to visit them and to see my grandchildren. And when I got there, she was really happy to see me. She said, "Mama, good thing you came, because somebody took a shot at my house, and the bullet hole went right through two walls, and then it ended in a closet." So she took the lid out. So I said, "Did you report this?" And she said she did. So I'll tell you what all I know from there. So that evening, I went and I stopped. There was a policeman going by, so I stopped him and I told him about it. And his name was Dr. Abhay Polisa. Butch Heinemann, I think. Heinemann. So I told him. Can you wait now? I think he knows the, how to spell it, but not. I stopped at the police. I told him that this was, I was certain of, you know, I was concerned about my daughter and her kids. And I said, this is a serious thing, and I think you should look into this. But he didn't even go in. He just ignored me. It looked like he didn't even care. And he said, so I said, if you can't do anything to help, I'll get help somewhere else. And then I went to town and I went to the telephone booth and I start looking for names, you know, that I could call. But the first one that came to my mind was Marvin. I was going to tell him about it. But I couldn't find his name in the listing, so I went back and we just didn't know what to do. She's living in fear at nights, and that Friday night, Friday evening, he was driving around with this Jeannie Cotier. The policeman, And finally, yesterday, Mrs. Sangre and I went to Marvin. We went looking for Marvin, and then that's when we met you at Marvin's driveway. And then we went to see, we were going in to see the superintendent about this problem, but I guess he didn't want to talk to us in person. He heard it. He heard, Siebert heard what he said. And so us Indians here on the reservation, seems like we don't have nobody to turn to when it comes to trouble like that. So I was thinking that we should have different policemen, judges, everything. You know, we need somebody that we can tell our troubles to or do something about things like this. So that Sunday night we called Roger, and he took our he took the statements down of what happened there. And he knows about it.
Oh, right, okay.
Mm-hmm. So that BIA police don't care what happens out in Martin housing. We want some policemen, you know, altogether different, that have no relations or take sides.
Isn't there right now some sort of question about the whole Martin area?
Yeah, there's a jurisdiction in town that I got picked up in Martin spot in August. And I had a different license plate on the car, and I got picked up, and I was supposed to get $50 bond, and I got out because I claimed jurisdiction. They tried that jurisdiction, and we didn't have any violation on the state license plate. And so my case is still pending, and I haven't heard any. They changed lawyers on me, but.
It's interesting, John, because in the code it says that the reservation is defined by the Great Sioux Reservation, which includes Bennett County, and all of a sudden Bennett County is not living in the country, and this is a no-credit convention, and Woods and its wife, and the traffic violations, and no good currency violations, and there's an issue with the elections, and at one level,
well, I know there's a question because I think it was just argued last week before the Supreme Court. United States Supreme Court.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay, well, have the local police ever alleged it? Have the local police ever alleged that, I mean, have the BIA police ever said that they don't have jurisdiction out there at the house?
I never heard.
That was always a question, even with the law and order side of it. And the reason that I took that stand at Benton County didn't have jurisdiction over me is that remember doing Woody Knee Days, there was a marsh coming in and they stopped them. And the Allen policeman, I was visiting with him in Washington one night, he was over there. He told me that they pulled a bluff.
No, I would think
that the state, the Benton County didn't have jurisdiction. So only thing they relied on was that non-law exclusion resolution by the tribe. So when that marchers come in, they had easement serving a non-law exclusion order to that march and ask them to turn around. The BIA gave the jurisdiction back to the tribe as a tribal jurisdiction. Then another case did take it and said, well, I said, you were violating state law, so we're going to arrest you. So with that, I took that stand that they don't have jurisdiction over me. And my case is still pending.
But the people that you talked with, the police officers and everything, never made that argument. They never said that they couldn't come to the...
No, he's been driving around there.
It's a very pleasant question. People that are assigned say they won't do anything. They don't do anything. It's a bad custom to encourage the county authority to start taking action there when you don't want them to. You don't want their jurisdiction recognized.
So this policeman that I talked to didn't even go in the house to see for himself what happened. And this night before, they were all over the place again. They were trying to get in. Jerry Richards was trying to get into my daughter's house. He didn't even knock. He was just trying to, he was turning the doorknob and was trying to open it. They were all over the place in the dark with guns. And the policemen were there, but they didn't even pick them up or anything. They were just on the loose there. So we stayed up all night till daylight.
This was just this past Friday?
Yeah, this night before.
Hey, my son, I wonder the reason her and Mr. Carrier went to the
they've been telling they've been reporting this to the police, but he didn't do anything, so they were going to defend themselves. You mean the boys?
Yeah, I mean, guess what? The eventual question I want to get to is, has your side or your group, if there's another side or another group, I'm supposing that you have a side or a group, have they done anything for these other people? Have they ever gone to their house, shot at them, or busted their windows, that you know of?
You mean, I know of if they ever did?
No.
Oh, would they would?
Well, what, yeah, what I was asking was that...
They were accused of, her son-in-law was accused of shooting at his other people's house. And in fact, he didn't, he wasn't even in town at the time. And as a result, they used that excuse as a reason to shoot at his house. And he said, you know, I was out visiting my mother, I wasn't even in town.
That I wasn't there at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they looking for an excuse? I'm just wondering if there's something else to this.
I don't know. See, I don't live there. Just my daughter does.
For example, the people who backed the candidates for president in the last election, and so we have understood the problems between those people. That's not, that doesn't exist in this case.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what else I would do. But I'm complaining to you about the BIA policeman, that he should have looked into this right away. But instead we had to come and we were on our way to see the superintendent and tell him about this, but he don't care. It just seems like he don't care. So I don't know this trouble, how it started, but the policeman should have looked into this. Judges.
Thank you.